This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, for this episode. And on today's program, I am blessed to be joined by two wonderful individuals. First is John Kerr. John is a sports writer for the Chicago Tribune and also author of The Boys in Brown. Joining me as well is Coach Andy Bitto. He is the athletic director and head football coach at Carmel Catholic High School in Mundelein, Illinois, and has served the school in some capacity for 31 years. So welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining me on this episode of WSFI Spotlight.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having us.
We're excited to be here.
So today we're going to talk about sports and faith. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about faith, athletics, and how all of this, to kind of kick off this interview, about the book that, John, you wrote. It's called The Boys in Brown, and it focuses on a season of Carmel Catholic High School football. So let's talk a little bit about that.
The book takes place in 2010, where I spent a season with Coach Bitto, sitting to my right here. I call him Andy, but in the book you'll refer to him as Coach Bitto. And a championship season from the Corsairs that year. And the book is sort of what I observed from the team that year, and bringing some of these characters to life, Coach Bitto being one of them, football players, athletes, parents. And sort of like I always call it like the Friday Night Lights, but more of a Chicago Midwestern version of Friday Night Lights. And it's got a Blind Side story in it too. Those familiar with the Blind Side, a story of the Tuohy family who adopted Michael Oher, who's now in the NFL, and raised him from humble beginnings in Memphis, Tennessee. The story also has a story of Marion Bier, who adopted Laron Bier, who was a player for Andy in that season 2010, and raised him and brought him to Carmel. So again, it's got football, it's got faith, as you touched on, but also it tackles, I think, some society issues of race and also education as well.
Why is it so important that all of these elements are tied together? Maybe, Coach, you want to touch on faith, football, academics, and this isn't a specific order that you gave me here. It's faith, family, academics, and leadership, and football. So why is it so important all this is tied together?
Well, first of all, we're a faith-based community. We're at a Catholic school, so our faith is paramount to everything we do, and so that's our number one priority. Our family is our grace from God, so our family, in essence, is kind of combined with our faith, and then everything we do is for the betterment of them. The third part is academics and leadership, and we really strive to push our kids to do the very best they can in the classroom, and every, like, at their workplace, in their church community, whatever they can do, we want them to be leaders. And also, we want our school to be a place where kids are protected. We have an opportunity to help others, teachers, whoever. We make them smile and be grateful for that. And then the bottom part of it is the football part. If we think we have the other three priorities in order, football becomes very easy because it emulates all the same.
John, you have a quote from the book about tying all this stuff together too, right?
I do. When I first, actually the year before 2010 was the first time when I'd actually been around the program. And Carmel was playing, I believe it was St. Joseph's, and you had beaten them pretty handily, as you typically did against St. Joseph's. And at the end of the game, and somebody had told me this, they had said, you got to stick around because there's something that pretty astonishing happens at the end of these games. And the game ended, and it was almost everybody was screaming and yelling and celebrating, and all of a sudden got quiet. And the student body and the players all gathered on one side of the end zone, and four players stood up, held hands right in the center, and then there was a circle that surrounded those players, and they began to recite the reconciliation, began to state the Lord's Prayer. And I remember, as just an observer of the human spirit, being, wow, I mean, this is just what an act of togetherness and community happening here on this football field. And that sort of led me to, really was kind of the groundswell for me to want to explore this story a little bit more, which led to the book. And there's a chapter in the book where at the end of a game against Joliet Catholic, this is what happens. And I'll read these sort of last comments from it. The stadium lights still glow, quoting here, the celebratory cackling hushes. fans leaving the stands atop a stop and lean against the railing. On the field, all within the circle, clasp hands, then take a knee. In the middle of the circle stand four players, Michael Fitzgibbons, Jake Larson, Michael Cohen, and Paul Madison. Still in uniform, they survey the scene unfolding in front of them. They face the crowd. Fitzgibbons stands furthest to the left. He extends out his left hand. Larson grabs it with his right. Madison claps his right hand with Larson's left. Fitzgibbons the same with Madison. They wait for a few lingering students to join the circle. All heads bow. The stadium lights still glow, canopied below a clear September sky. The scoreboard shines. It reads, Home 31, Guest 28. It's absurdly signed as if all humanity were taking a deep breath. The Greeks have a phrase for an occasion as common as this, the supreme moment. Larson breaks the silence. He says, Our Father. Then in unison, they all begin to pray. And the last paragraph is, Karma won an important football game tonight, but as the clock reaches 10:30 and as people scatter into the parking lot and back to their respective lives, it's impossible not to believe a force stronger than the outcome of a single sporting event has united them. And Andy, what would you want, somebody observing that for the first time, what would you want that moment, how would you want that to speak to them about what Carmel's about?
Well, victories on the field are exciting and what we really strive for, because we really think it's important for kids to understand to work hard and put their best foot forward. And we're not talking about wins per se, but we're talking about giving our best foot forward, and that's part of the education process. But win or lose, the bottom line is that each guy gives a little bit of each other, and in doing so, that's very faithful. That's very community-oriented. Our student body, literally almost the whole school, comes on the field and does this with us, and it's spontaneous. We don't ask them to do it. Yeah. They just do it and respect it. So by being leaders in our community, by showing an example of what hard work can do, giving up to each other, being good guys in the community, people will support you. People will get on your side. And therefore, not only does your opportunities to be successful grow, but in turn, you build a faith base that is larger than yourself. And that is really spiritual and really kind of the essence of what we try to do.
Well, the thing that speaks to me and may speak to our listeners is the public witness of young people, of their faith. Just listening to you touch on that story, it touches me and says, hey, how can I be a better public witness of my faith? And if there are 15, 16, 17-year-old kids standing on a football field after a game and there's all the and the entire student body joins them, my gosh, what are their parents thinking in the stands? How are you living your public faith? That is such an empowering thing to see.
None of us are perfect, but what it does signify is that what we are doing is moving in the right direction, because other young people who are not even affiliated with the hard work and getting your fingers grimy and playing some tough football, they respect the fact that we're willing to represent our school, but they also respect the fact that we're willing to help other people acknowledge their faith.
And there's history behind that, which I write about in the book, of when that first time happened, which was years before 2010, which the school still does now to this day. I think what Coach Bitto's talking about, and this is a theme and a message throughout the book as well, is this idea of, like, you're playing for something other than yourself. And when you talk to that year at Carmel, and there were student-athletes like Sean Wolf Lewis and guys like Jake Larson and guys who are very introspective, and they would talk to you at that moment about this coming together. They were starting to get this idea of what it meant to be a football player at Carmel, which is, yeah, the scores matter. We want to win, and that year you won a lot. But I'm also representing a larger community, which is my parents, my grandparents, my English teacher, my sister. And when they're watching me play, I want them to be proud of me.
Anybody who's ever played there, we call it, the coaches, we call it the get it factor. At some point, we hope the kids get it. Yeah. It could be while they're playing, and it doesn't always have to be. Sometimes it's when they're 25 years old, or when they have their first child, or when they get married, and or when a parent dies, they understand that. And somewhere along the line, we think they get it, and hopefully, we don't know how impactful it is, but hopefully we're paying it forward kind of thing.
For our listeners, you've joined us in the middle of the program. You are listening to Coach Andy Bitto, who is the athletic director and head football coach at Carmel Catholic High School in Mundelein, Illinois. And you're also listening to the voice of John Kerr, who is a sports writer with the Chicago Tribune and the author of The Boys in Brown. I'm Bill Snyder. We do have to take a quick break here on WSFI Spotlight, and we'll be right back to talk more with both Coach Bitto and John Kerr. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Mike McCoy. I went to the University of Notre Dame, played 11 years in the NFL. And why is Catholic radio relevant for the Chicago area? Well, I think it's relevant all over the country because of what's going on in our culture today. I see it all the time as I go into Catholic schools. A lot of pressure on our young people. You know, what's the truth? What's not the truth? What's the absolute truth? So hopefully by coming into this social media radio, we'll get some positive things out there so people can listen to. So that's why I think it's relevant, because our culture is overwhelming us today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFIradio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFIradio.org and Listen Live. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. Today, my guests are Coach Andy Bitto, the head coach of Carmel Catholic Football, and the athletic director there, and also John Kerr, who is a sports writer for the Chicago Tribune and author of The Boys in Brown. We're talking about football, family, faith, and we're talking about the book The Boys in Brown as well. And in the second half of the interview, we kind of want to delve into some of those principles and parts of the football program at Carmel that really separate it from many of the other pedestrian programs that are out there, football programs out there. So let's talk about some of those specific things that Carmel does that other places don't.
Well, Bill, one of the things that I observe from being around Carmel, we discussed it in the opening segment, was certainly their ability to be able to express their faith. And throughout my research of this book, I did interview quite a few priests, one of them being Father Bob Carroll, who folks in the area will remember as being the principal at Carmel Catholic for a number of years. Actually hired Andy as head coach back in the late 90s. Also worked in Mount Carmel, worked at CPS for a number of years, and has worked at several Carmelite campuses nationwide. And the one of the things that they will tell you about, and the things that certainly bothers them and troubles them now, is the decline of religiosity and spirituality within our culture. And this gets to this idea of how does Catholic education separate itself when you live in an area where you've got a lot of really good public schools here where kids can get very good educations. And Andy, just from currently today, when you're dealing with people one-on-one, how much of that comes across? How much are you thinking about getting that faith and expressing that faith and doing it in your classroom, on the football field, the ability to be able to say, hey, here's why we're different?
Well, is prospective parents you're talking about, or people who want to come there? So if you walk through our hallways, first of all, there's an unbelievable amount of great education going on in the classrooms. But prior to every class, we say a prayer. Anything that we have, we're grateful for, we thank God for. And I think that sets us apart from public schools because they're not allowed to do that. We're able to talk about faith, morality, doing the right thing for others, staying above the line when you make decisions, and there's consequences when you don't make the right decision, and we're not going to shy away from that. I think that's the faith-based part of it is, that's why you send your kid to Carmel, because you know your son or daughter is going to experience that.
So when you and I were kind of growing up, going to church on Sunday, that was a requirement. That was one of the first things you did. nowadays in the culture, well, you've got a child who plays club soccer, and maybe that club soccer game is at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Okay, well, you have to make a choice. And that sort of gets to...
Yeah, go to Saturday Mass. That's your choice.
Go to Saturday Mass. Easy answer, right? Again, yeah. We're going to solve all the problems here in this studio. And I think the daily drumbeat of Catholics was the sacraments. There was the rotation of the sacraments, and those things mattered it was part of your lifestyle. And I'm speaking of priests and those I interviewed for this book who say that's not the case anymore.
Right.
You don't see that as much.
We need to keep emphasizing to the kids that it's okay to be with your family. It's okay to pray with your family. It's okay to pray with your friends. Those things are very centering and calms you down and gets you to slow down and be grateful and be happy. And I think the more prayer you have in your life, the happier you are, and the more good things you're going to do for other people.
The one thing that there's another chapter in this book as well, and we talked about this idea of spontaneous prayer, which now certainly at the end of every game, there was an origination of that, but the origination of that actually sort of happened spontaneously too. And there's a story of that in the book, but there's also a story. There was you're playing Marian Catholic in Chicago Heights, and at the end of the game, one of your offensive linemen, Sean Wolf Lewis, got hurt, and Sean was on the sidelines on the training table, and when the game ended, instead of going towards the north or south end zone to pray, remember they were on the road, so the student body wasn't there; it was just the players. They went to Sean. And they stood around him, and he was in pain, he was crying, and he was a senior, never played another down of football again. And I had a conversation with Sean a few weeks ago about this, and he says that still he thinks about that to this day, about looking up and seeing his teammates while he's lying there in agony on his training table, and them saying the Lord's Prayer.
You know you're moving in the right directions when 18-year-old boys decide to do something for somebody else who's hurting. That could have. It was a great victory. It may have been the game we won the conference title with. I'm not sure, but they froze a moment in time to think about their friend. Now that's kind of what it's all about. That's why that was a special year, because the kids really, really worked in that direction.
And it just goes to show you, Bill, too, the importance of how sports can help build character and also empathy, right? We need more empathy in society, and sports is a way to teach young people to get out of their own heads.
Yeah, there's a large element of sacrifice in sports, and especially in football, right? There's a lot of...
It's the ultimate team game. If one guy is not doing his job properly, a play can break down very quickly. And so young boys depend on each other to have the same focus, and that can be very godly too.
Look, we're all striving for the end zone in some ways, shape, or form, right? And we need each other to support one another, and that's a great lesson that football can teach young people. It's a great lesson that football can teach all of us as Catholics, no matter what age, race, color. We're all trying to get to the end zone in life, which is heaven, and we need each other to support one another through that. And so I'm just so happy that, Coach, you've got this decoded and figured out for Carmel Catholic School, high school. And it certainly seems
it changes all the time.
Yeah, it's sure. Getting better every day, right? The code changes every day. Mm-hmm. You have to rethink it. And Bill, if we have time, just one. Yeah. There's one other anecdote from the book that I want to read here, which to me also gets to what this particular coaching staff and this group that Andy had that year in 2010, and this was not something that they didn't do in 2007 or 2004 or even now in 2015. But I wanted to include this in the book, but because I remember this, because after every road game that you would play, you guys would always, and this is whether you were in Cincinnati or you were at Marin or you were at Marist, it was that the guys stuck around and you cleaned up the locker room. And one thing I have, this is the last scene in the book, and I you're always, as a writer, you're always thinking of, how do I sum all of this up, right? I had many late nights thinking, how do I sum all this up? And I wrote was, quote, "Everyone has said all they have to say. The bleary-eyed Corsairs scatter, some to a seat inside the school-sponsored bus for the ride back to campus. Others will ride home with their parents." This was after the final loss of the season to St. Rita in the quarterfinals. Back again, quote, "But before they can turn the lights out, there is still work to be done. Andy, Tim, Tom, Jerry, Jim pick up scatterings of tape from the concrete floor. And there's Fitz pushing a broom, sweeping up the last bit of dirt left over from the boys. Football is over at Carmel Catholic this season, but never its obligations. These men will always see to that. That, to me, was a encompassed what that group was about in that one scene. And the idea of when he talks about it's hard work. It's also having respect for others, which sometimes in football we lose some of that because of the almost the violent nature of the sport. Again, this idea of even, but little, they're little, you could even find God by picking up tape on the floor of a locker room. And that's powerful.
To see that this is happening in today's culture, in today's world, that there's still a coach out there, there's still somebody out there that wants to spread this message. And I know that people listening to this right now have got to be inspired. And what are some of those things that maybe somebody listening to this program, coach, can do? Maybe they're not attending a Catholic high school, but they're Catholic and they're in a football program. Maybe tell those kids, what are some ways that they can set an example for their other friends and their other team, and how can they impact the culture?
Well, quickly, within their school, they can do a lot of things. They can make sure the kids aren't being picked on. They can help teachers in and out of the classrooms. They can be the leaders in the school and how they behave, especially at parties. I tell kids that if they go to a party and there's alcohol or drugs there, they need to get out. And not only do they need to get out, they need to get their friends out. And that's helping other people. And then as a reach out, there's a lot of things out there the kids can do as a group to help other people. Soup kitchens, church events, helping out with March of Dimes or Special Olympics, or there's a million things that, and not only does it help other people, it really gets them to bond together as a team. And so they not only are working hard on the field, they're working hard to help other people. And I think that is really important for them to realize that they are impactful. The things that they do and say are important, and that they're very powerful people. How they affect other people and where they can go in their lives is really, 16 and 17 year olds think they're trapped in their parents' home a lot of time. They don't realize, think about go back when you're a teenager. I wish I could go back because there's so many things I'd do differently to be so successful and to try to emulate that. And it really starts with being grateful and being gracious to others.
And that's, and Bill, that's community. And I think what Coach Bitto just spoke about is building community. And even if you don't necessarily attend Mass on a regular basis or attend
church. Go to church, too. I tell them that.
Yeah, but those who don't, there's ways with which you can still express spirituality and be a faithful citizen by engaging in these acts. But also starts with leadership. And if I'm listening to this program, you see why Coach Bitto is a great leader, because he actually does these things. He doesn't just say it to his kids. He lives this every day.
When I was a young coach, I have a mentor. His name is Mike Fitzgibbons. Actually, his son played for me on that team. And when I was a young coach, he said, Andy, you know, you're in a Catholic community now. You need to go to church. And I said, what? I said, people need to see you practicing what we're going to tell them to do. And so for the last 30 years, I've tried to get to church every Sunday because I want to be an example to young people. And if you're not going to act and behave the way you want them to be, they're never going to do what you got to be true. You got to be a true person.
Yeah, Coach, you hit it right on the head. Young people today in today's world, you're exactly right. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for somebody to be authentic with them, and they can tell immediately if you're not authentic. They can see it. They can see right through all the glitz and glamour, and they're looking for that.
You're almost too authentic at times, I think. Some might say that.
Well, when you're talking about touching base with kids, it starts at the very basic. Each kid's got to know that you care about them and that what you're saying is really going to benefit them. So you push them in that direction. But if they don't trust you, like you say, or you don't connect with them, it's really difficult.
And especially now, I think, Bill, it's more important now than it was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Because kids will question things.
Yes.
More so now than they used to. It's not just this active God, voice of God telling them what to do. They're going to question it.
And in a lot of ways, you want them to. I want them to research things. I want them to scrap the surface and see what's underneath there, all that stuff, because we hope that it will sink in and it'll be something that they can pass on to their kids and their friends.
Well, sometimes you wish they would just block the right guy and not always question.
Well, we're not going to talk about X's and O's, but I'm talking
X's and O's of life, right, Andy?
Right.
I want to kind of close with this here. John, you kind of touched on it just a little bit about community and bringing community together, and that the and that athletics can really, especially high school football athletics, can draw a community together, can really do that for people who are struggling. Are you seeing that in some ways now with this, with the strength of this program, the community, school community, but the community in Mundelein, people rallying around the team in this way, and those who are struggling finding support within that network of people?
One of the stories in the book, aside from the 2010 season of Carmel, which was a very exciting season, a championship season, a lot of great games, a lot of great victories, there's a story of Laurent Bierre, who played for Andy and was a real good defensive player on the team that year, African-American, and was the only black kid on that team. He was adopted by an elderly couple, a woman named Marion, who literally took him from St. Teresa's Hospital. His mother had abandoned him, and she adopted him basically on one phone call. I'm coming, and I'm going to take him. And she committed to him, and she raised him. And her whole goal, she'd raised six kids of her own, and she had sent three of them to Carmel. And her goal was to get Laurent to Carmel, which she accomplished. And then she passed away before Laurent graduated. And to your question, Bill, about community, well, there's quite a few. It wasn't just Marion getting Laurent to Carmel. There's a lot of people that helped that happen. And so I think one of the things about a place like Carmel is when somebody is suffering or somebody maybe isn't as fortunate, people know that. And there's sort of a rallying effect around the Bierre family. And this stuff happens every single year at Carmel. You know, I just happened to write about this particular story. So, yes, I think it's the DNA of that place is about faith, and it's about fellowship. And the wins and losses, as Andy knows, he started out, won a prep bowl, had a great run the first 5-6 years. Through the 2000s, Carmel was the winningest football program in Lake County. Had the highest winning percentage. And Andy's a Hall of Fame coach. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame whenever he decides to retire. But the last couple of years, the team hasn't won as many games. But I think at the core of the play still is about community, and it's still about faith, and there's still support for the team. People still come to the games. And that will continue to happen regardless if the wins, when the wins come back, which they will, that support and that faith is still there, because you're grounded in that sense of we're here for things other than just football. That's why we're here, why we send our kids here.
Excellent. And it's unbelievable how fast time flies when you're having such a graced conversation like this. But we have to wrap this up. And I want to ask you a couple of things. Number one, where can people purchase the book? Because it's such an important thing, I think, for listeners to read and see this, especially for football players in high school and parents who are going through that. And then also, maybe somebody is listening and they're interested in attending Carmel Catholic. And just how does that happen?
Well, you can get the book on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com, the book is available on Amazon. You can also go to boysandbrown.com. Boys, it's BOYSINBROWN, boysandbrown.com, and you can get information on how you can get a copy of the book. As for Carmel, I'll leave that to Coach Bitto.
We're having a makeup test this week. You want to take it Saturday morning. But you can call our admissions director. His name's Brian Stith. His number is 847-388-3320 for any information about coming shadow day. Check out the school, the best seller of our school, of our kids. And when we do a shadow day, we have kids come in and go through class periods with another student, and it's really a kind of fun day, but it's a great way to get the feel for our kids, and our kids are awesome.
And also, know if you're a football player, you're interested in football, you've got a camp that happens, I think, in June or July, and correct?
Youth camp in July, which is on our website at carmelhs.org.
Thank you so much for being here, both of you, and sharing in faith and football, and just great holy conversation. So thank you so much for your time and for doing this for us.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having us.
So this has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.